The Mark Cox Morning Show.
Listen to both sides.
The bottom line is,
I respect that we don't agree.
You're listening to The Mark Cox Morning Show.
Just to find a voice.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
I don't know how to put this.
Mark Cox.
I'm kind of a big deal.
Well, it adds excitement, doesn't it, folks?
All of this is garbage. The idea that a remember, this president is saying to the Ukrainians, help me get to the truth. I mean, when did the New York Times and the Washington Post suddenly decide that covering up the truth is a good idea? Now, this is crazy.
Well, he knows a thing or two about impeachment hearings. That's Newt Gingrich, who oversaw the impeachment of one Bill Clinton, William Jefferson Clinton. How about that? Hey, good morning to you. Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday.
Welcome into the show. Denise,
Hi,
how are you?
I'm good.
Good. Carl in this morning again for Tricia, who continues to celebrate her birthday. It's birthday week.
Right? She picked a good week to stay warm in bed early this morning.
She did. Can I tell you, you know what I did yesterday? I'm going to put this picture up on Facebook here in a minute.
All right.
I went deer hunting yesterday.
Oh, that's right.
You threatened all morning to
do that. I did go. And I have to tell you.
How'd you do with the bow?
I didn't. The deer all safe.
Is it the bow's fault or is it your fault?
It wasn't that I shot and missed. It's that I just didn't see anything to shoot at. I wasn't out there. I wasn't out there just to randomly take deer lives. I was looking for like something I could mount on the wall, right?
Yeah,
like a big one. And there weren't any.
This was trophy day.
Yeah.
But it didn't turn out so well.
No, it didn't. But I can tell you one thing. By the time when I got in bed last night, I still wasn't warm. I sat out there for four hours
freezing yesterday.
In a tree stand, and I was bundled up. I had the little toe heaters that you can, you know, tear open and put on your socks, and the hand heaters, and
didn't help, huh?
Oh, it was cold. It was cold out there.
Did you drink any beer?
No. Why would you drink beer when you're deer hunting?
Like, what? Coffee with some Bailey's in it or something?
You don't drink beer when you're hunting. You don't mix alcohol and
I don't think
hunting. That's why Carl doesn't hunt.
I don't think you're hunting correctly.
You wait till you get back to deer camp and then you have a beer, right?
That's when you warm up.
Yeah, exactly. A little shot of whiskey or whatever it is. The deer are all safe. Can I just tell you? It was kind of pathetic. I left my house yesterday morning and was driving into work. And at the bottom of the street that connects to my neighborhood, there was an 8-point buck standing there staring at me when I turned right onto Clayton Road.
Mocking you.
Of course.
It was mocking me. And then I went and sat in the woods for 4 hours and saw one deer. And he was so far away that you couldn't hit him with a bow anyway, so it wouldn't have mattered.
Are you going to try again?
Yeah, when I can use something that reaches out and gets them, like a rifle.
Okay.
And that will start on Saturday. So I'm not going to go freeze again until I know I'm you know, I can
have
be fruitful.
Have a better chance.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
That's fair.
Be fruitful. Hey, Adam Schiff's going hunting today. Did you know that?
Yeah, a different kind of hunting.
If you haven't heard the rundown yet, we're going to be carrying this impeachment sham hearing live at 9 this morning. When it gets underway, which is, of course, 10 a.m. Eastern time, they'll gavel this thing in. They've actually put together a little bit of a rundown. I'll just give you an idea of what's going to go on this morning. So at 9, they'll gavel it in. They'll each get to make their opening statements, right? Devin Nunes, of course, will follow Adam Schiff. Schiff will swear in the witnesses. And they're going to be if it's going to be Bill Taylor, an ambassador, and Foreign Service Officer George Kent. What's the bottom line on what's going to happen today? Nothing new. Just let me tell you that right now. You will hear nothing today that the Democrats have not already selectively leaked from when these two men testified in a closed door hearing. That's why this is a sham. And here's why else it's a sham. Schiff can call the members. And it'll alternate between Republicans and Democrats. Each member gets 5 minutes to ask questions. Schiff can decide which members get to go in any order he wants to. And only Schiff and Nunes and their designated staff can ask questions. But Schiff can add additional time anytime he wants to. So you've got exactly what we thought this would be. It'll be a very one-sided witch hunt. There will be two people testifying today, and then they're expected to call a total of 8 of their witnesses. They've rejected all of the Republican witnesses. This is just going to be a sideshow. That's all that it is today. And, you know, quite frankly, knowing that going in, I'm not quite sure why the Democrats are convinced this is going to have any impact. There's a new poll out. We'll get to this coming up here. But effectively, attitudes haven't changed on this since the impeachment hearing started. I mean, that's the thing about it. More Americans feel the Democrats have done a bad job. This is a CBS News poll. More Americans feel the Democrats have done a bad job handling the inquiry, 52%, than a good job, 48%. And of course, they all feel President Trump's done a bad job handling it. What? He's being prosecuted here in public. So anyway, that poll, by the way, I always love to go to the bottom of the poll and find out how it was taken. That was about 3,000 people polled online.
Huh.
That's an online poll done by CBS News and its polling company. And, you know, I don't poll for a living.
SurveyMonkey.
It's like SurveyMonkey. It's not very scientific.
Right.
Because you have no control over who responds, right? You can't.
Or how many times.
Or how many times.
It brings in a bunch of other questions about how they can be.
And they can lie about party affiliation. Yeah. And they can lie about a lot of stuff. So anyway, that's the poll that's making headlines this morning. People think the Democrats have done a bad job with this. Well, they should think that, in my opinion. Hey, we got a lot coming up for you. I got Genevieve Wood later. We got Colonel Alan West is going to join us. We're going to talk to the folks from Fox News who are Rachel Sutherland, who's covering this impeachment sham today on Capitol Hill. Cassie Smedley is going to join us in the 6 o'clock hour. Our first responder spotlight. We got big news today. Big news.
Bigly.
It's going to be bigly. And I'm going to tell you about it right after we take a break.
We will treat the president with fairness.
A Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee under fire tonight for reciting what he later called a parody of President Trump's phone call with the Ukrainian president.
And unfortunately for Adam Schiff, he kind of really blew it at the last hearing he did when he tried to be too cute by half and offer some kind of parody.
And American people need clarity, not parody.
House Republicans not the only ones calling out Intel Chair Adam Schiff over his panel's reported contact with the whistleblower.
So the some Republicans have put out that video kind of showing the hypocrisy of what the Democrats are doing right now. We'll play it again for you a little later. Here's the thing about it. It's going to happen later today, whether we like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
We can watch and see, because the American public are going to see just how biased Adam Schiff is. You know, we told you here yesterday morning there were new talking points. What were the new talking points? The new talking points were the
extortion
and bribery.
Every soundbite you saw in that network news last night, extortion and bribery. CNN, MSNBC.
You love how they all follow suit, right?
Isn't that weird? Mm-hmm. All the talking points went out. That's the first thing you heard from all of them. So don't be surprised by anything that you hear today. I thought that Annie Fry, we'll talk about this in a few minutes, but Annie did something pretty cute. She put together in peaches and cream. She put together this impeaches and cream bingo that you can play when you hear certain phrases going over and over and over again, because you know that's what's going to happen today. So we'll get to all that here in a minute. I did want to mention, though, you know, it's our first responder Thanksgiving month. Every day this month, we're going to highlight a different first responder group. And the important thing about that is I've been telling you that on the 22nd, we were trying to do something special for our first responders. And here it is. I'm finally able to talk about it because we've been trying to cement all of the details. on the morning of the 22nd, we will be taking the Mark Cox Morning Mark Show Cox. Live.
Talk lines are open now at 314-241-9797.
There's a ghost in the system.
I don't even know where that's
I don't
from.
Have that button.
I didn't have that.
He was really excited to help you make the announcement.
He
there,
was.
Mark. That's what it was.
Thank you, Carl.
Where'd that come from?
The gremlins in the board. It happens every now and then.
I heard that there was an Adam Schiff sighting in the building last night. So he might well have done that. I don't know the answer to that.
But
my computer's acting strangely over here, too. It's like it's got a virus or something.
Uh-oh.
We should have called Jeff Computers. He could have stopped this from happening.
Yes.
Clearly, our folks here couldn't. Okay. Anyway.
What happened?
Yeah, I don't know. My computer has now ceased to operate.
Uh-oh.
But I can tell you this. We are going to take the show live on Friday morning, the 22nd. Mm-hmm. To the Walnut Grill location in Sunset Hills. And Eric Vogel, who's the owner and operator locally of the Walnut Grill, has agreed to donate a portion of every breakfast served the morning of the 22nd to our first responders, to Responder Rescue.
Nice.
So at the end of the day, you can go to any of their three locations. Of course, they're in Ellisville, they're in O'Fallon, Missouri, they're off Highway K, and they've got the one in Sunset Hills. You can go to any of those locations. We'll be live at the one in Sunset Hills. You go in, you have a great breakfast, and a portion of the money is being donated to Responder Rescue. So that's awesome that
yeah.
Eric is willing to do that for
Thank
us.
Thank you so much. It's going to be fun.
Oh, yeah. We'll all be down there, and the breakfast is fantastic, and you're going to be helping out first responders who are in need. It's a great way to give back, plus you get a full belly out of it. So there's nothing to complain about, right?
Not at all. And it is a really good breakfast, but even more, you know, important. That's going to be donated to a great cause.
Right, so, and that was kind of my goal all along. Mm-hmm. We've been working with Eric, and we finally got the details worked out. And I'm thrilled that we're able to do that.
You didn't want to go out and get breakfast. You just wanted to make sure that everyone, you know, got the charity right.
Yeah, yeah,
yes.
Exactly. We just needed to work. We needed to find a central location where, and this is perfect because
no matter
where you are in the greater St. Louis area, you can get to one of those three locations pretty easily.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go and have breakfast and know that you're donating to a great cause. If you want to see us, we'll be live down at the one in Sunset Hills. So it should be good. It should be fantastic. So you can show up. They'll have the store down there open early that morning. For breakfast, and we'll have all the details for you as we go on through the morning here, but we'll get it up on the website and all that good stuff. That's good. You know, I heard Kilmeade yesterday talking on the Glover Show. He's coming to town here on the 22nd.
Mm-hmm. That's going to be a big day.
Should be good stuff. We're doing the show live that morning.
Going out again that night.
Friday night, we're going to be live, not in for the radio show, but we'll be live with Brian Kilmeade at this event in St. Charles County. It's going to be fun. He's got a new book out, Sam Houston and the Alamo Defenders, it's a fantastic book. I mean, I've read it, but the bigger thing is Brian. I the guy's like the Energizer Bunny.
Yes,
honestly,
he does have a co-writer, by the way.
I'm sure he does.
Yeah.
But I still don't understand how he fits it all into the day.
I don't either.
Some days you look up and he's on Fox. Other days you look up that he's not. If he's not, that means he's on the road somewhere promoting this book.
He was on Outnumbered yesterday or the day before.
Right.
So he did double shift.
He was on Glover last night. He'll be on our show Friday talking about the thing coming up on the 22nd. You can still get tickets to that, by the way, if you go to the website. We're going to be giving away another pair of tickets and a book today. And then Brian is going to be in here on, he's going to call us on Friday with more details on what he's going to be talking about. The book is fascinating, but I've enjoyed all of his books from Thomas Jefferson and the Tripoli Pirates, the first one.
My wife likes The Secret Six, the George Washington one.
Yeah, I saw that one. I read that one too. Mm-hmm. They've all been good. So 971talk.com. /events is where you can go to be sure you get a ticket to that. Filled up last time. I'm just telling you, it filled up. So get your tickets early, and maybe if you're lucky, you might win a pair today. We'll get to all of that and more coming up here on the show this morning. Big news yesterday out of the Supreme Court, and I'm going to talk about this more too. We got 2A Tuesday. We're going to want you to listen to the a reporter that I interviewed yesterday for the Free Beacon, because he's written a lot about some of the gun laws they're putting in place in Virginia now that it's a completely blue state. This is why you can never let this happen in the world, because these people will strip you of your basic constitutional rights. And then yesterday, the Supreme Court agreed to let a lawsuit go forward in the Sandy Hook shooting against the gun manufacturer. This is like suing Ford because somebody drove one of their cars drunk, like it's the car's fault. It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard, but we're going to talk about it more coming up here. 314-241-9797. Welcome into 2A Tuesday, and we're thrilled to have a guest, his new guest this week. Stephen Gutowski is with me. He is a writer with the Free Beacon. Freebeacon.com is the website. And Stephen, welcome in.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, great to have you. I was just reading one of the articles that you've got in the Free Beacon right now, talking about how women prefer the AR-15 for self-protection. Love that article.
Yeah, well, you know, I was inspired by the recent self-defense shooting in Florida where an 8-month pregnant woman defended her family from two armed home invaders. And I figured, you know, well, I asked the five prominent female gun owners what if they thought that the AR-15, you know, provided advantages over something like a shotgun. Because if you recall, I mean, in your little intro there, you got Biden talking about how shotguns, you know, are all you need, and they're easier and more effective than ARs. And apparently women don't believe that.
Well, so. Because women are smart. And for people that don't remember my favorite Joe Biden soundbite of all time on gun control, here it is.
Said, Jill, if there's ever a problem, just walk out on the balcony here, or walk out, put that double barrel shotgun and fire two blasts outside the house.
At which point you're out of bullets. Or rounds, right? I mean, at that point, you have no more shells in the gun. So with an AR-15, you've got multiple options left.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, the women that I spoke with, you know, so like Dana Lash, for instance, they said, you know, the AR-15 is lighter, it's more maneuverable, it's more accurate than a shotgun, and you have more ammunition.
Yeah, and clearly it's all about your aim, because if I remember correctly, the 8-month pregnant lady down there in Florida, somebody kicked in the door. She heard her husband fighting with him. She came out of the bedroom with the AR and ended up killing one of the guys, right?
That's right. And the other one ran off.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's interesting. So you can read that on the freebeacon.com. Stephen Gutowski is my guest this morning. You know, Stephen, we've got a debate going on right here in the greater St. Louis area. Obviously, part of our listenership covers the southern part of Illinois. Now, most of Illinois, particularly the northern part of it, is occupied by people who are far left of center and try to confiscate guns. But down here in the downstate, we have some common sense conservatives, and they're currently debating whether or not in southern Illinois, in some of these school districts, to allow teachers to be armed. Our Highland School District is debating that issue right now and may very well vote on it here at some point. This is an idea that has caught on in Florida and a variety of communities around the country.
Yeah, that's right. In fact, I just last year was in Colorado for one of the training sessions at Faster Colorado, which is a nonprofit that trains teachers to carry in school. And you know, I went through that training and I spoke with some of the teachers who carry, and you know, they're very passionate people. They're very committed to the welfare of their students. And I thought it was a really fascinating experience, and that the training itself is top notch.
Well, you know, I think people immediately jump to the wrong conclusion that of expectations on what you expect a teacher to do. All I want is the teacher in my kid's classroom to be able to protect the kids in his or her classroom. I'm not looking for somebody who's going to, you know, go out into the hallway and be on a seek and destroy mission for an active shooter. And a lot of these teachers, that's all they're looking for. They want the ability to protect themselves and them and their students in the event that there's a crisis in their school.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's exactly right. You know, the teachers for Faster Colorado are all police officers.
Okay.
And one of them was an officer who responded to a fatal school shooting in Colorado. And in that situation, they had, you know, a resource officer at that school, but he wasn't able to get to the scene of the first shots being fired until, you know, a minute or so after it happened. And the officer responded. His point was, you know, these teachers are going to be the first ones, even if you have a school resource officer, it's likely that a teacher will be the first one, you know, to be at the scene of one of those things.
Right.
And so the idea is, well, if those people are armed and trained, perhaps they can stop something like that even faster.
Well, you know, in a lot of places around the country, even if you've got a liberal Democrat governor, you got a little bit of a firewall in a lot of in the majority of the legislatures across the country. That's no longer the case in Virginia. It went all blue in that last election, and already Governor Northam there, he of blackface fame, has reintroduced 8 bills to the legislature that would severely restrict gun rights in that state, including, you know, background checks on everything. Obviously bump stocks have already been banned. That's one of the ones that he put back in order. Red flag laws. I mean, he's going all in on restricting the Second Amendment.
Yeah. So in Virginia, the gun control groups have been spending huge amounts of money for the last 3 elections here. And now finally they've been able to recapture the entire legislature. And so now it's likely that Virginia will see some sort of new gun control laws passed. You know, there is still only a 1-vote majority in the Senate for Democrats. So it's not, you know, a huge majority. So it's be interesting to see what they can actually get through. But yeah, they want pretty much everything you can think of, including potential confiscation. One of their proposals from before the election amounted to confiscation of you know, AR-15 style rifles.
Right. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see that. And maybe what happens there will cause other states to wake up and see what happens when you go to all one party rule, particularly from the progressives on the left these days. Listen, Stephen Gutowski, great to have you on the show. I'll recommend people go check out your website, freebeacon.com. Some great articles on there, and keep up the good work. Thank you.
So I'm going to suspend my campaign, and I'm going to look for other ways in which to advance this incredibly timely, important, but now out of season issue.
In case you cared,
who is that?
Some dude named Mark Sanford. He used to be the governor in South Carolina.
Oh.
Big anti-Trumper, big never-Trumper, ran for president because he's going to set this country on its ear.
Is this the guy that ran away for a while?
Yes, disappeared.
Okay, that's why I remember him.
Claimed he was hiking the Appalachian Trail,
but
when
he was
in
with
reality,
his other lady.
He was in South America chasing down his other love.
It's like, otherwise I would not know that name, but now now that story rings a bell.
The sex freak guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Simply put, I'm like the guy that ran away.
It's the guy that ran away. It's true. It's true. 314-241-9797. Sanford's out. It's just a matter of time till Joe Walsh is out too.
Yeah.
Dude. All he does is get on TV and scream at the cameras about he's become a rabid never-Trumper. He's like that Justin Amash guy in Congress. He's just gone off the rails. He's just gone off the rails. You know what? I would challenge anyone who wants to try to claim that they're somewhere to the right of me on politics, who wants to argue that Jeb Bush would have done to this economy and to regulations and the jolt in the arm to this economy that Donald Trump did. Would Ted Cruz have done it? I don't think so. Would Jeb Bush have done it? I don't think so. We had a field of 17 people, and there were people in there far more conservative than Donald Trump.
Yeah.
But what there weren't were people more earnest and more honest when it comes to saying what they're going to do and doing it and explaining why it didn't work if they tried and it didn't work. Mm-hmm. I've never seen a president like this. I haven't. There are things he does and says that I'm not happy with, but that doesn't mean you can't. You have to look at the results. He's redefined the presidency in the United States. There's no doubt about that. He has redefined it. One thing that I didn't get to in that 2A segment because it broke yesterday after the show is this Sandy Hook decision. The Supreme Court of the United States lets Sandy Hook shooting lawsuit go forward. It's an ominous headline. And what it makes it sound like is that the victims of the Sandy Hook shooting, where the elementary school was shot up by Adam Lanza, that they somehow are finally going to get justice. But here you need to take a step back and understand what this lawsuit was about. They want to sue somebody. They want to sue everybody over what happened. If you lost a child like that, you'd be horrified by it. But at the end of the day, only one person is responsible for what happened. That was Adam Lanza. The gun was legally purchased by his mother, who he murdered and then stole her gun and then went and committed an atrocity. One person is responsible for that. That's Adam Lanza. And maybe the fact that his parents knew he had mental problems and never did anything about it. Nobody else. Remington is not responsible for that. So they sued them, and a couple of liberal courts up in Connecticut allowed the lawsuit to go forward despite a law that said you can't sue. There's limited amount of action you can take against a manufacturer. So that was Remington's defense. You can't sue us. And they challenged it, and they challenged it all the way to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court said, well, that's not really true. They can sue you. That's what this decision was yesterday. It makes no sense. It won't go anywhere in a courtroom, even if they manage to find 12 jurors who, are all lost children in some horrible tragedy, and they try to convict Remington of it. It's going to be appealed, and it's going to be overturned. There's no difference here between suing Ford or Dodge or somebody else. Like, every Dodge commercial you see, remember the Dodge commercial they've got on right now that shows the people that are supposed to be the Dodge brothers back in the 30s doing donuts in the desert, yes. Mm-hmm. Right? It would be like somebody whose child died in a car accident driving a Dodge Charger suing Dodge because they ran a commercial showing somebody driving circles with their car because the car goes fast.
And there is even a little disclaimer at the bottom. Don't do this.
Professional driver, blah, blah, blah.
Closed court, right.
They're trying to sue Remington, saying the very fact that they made a semi-automatic rifle is what caused this problem. And that's just the most ludicrous argument ever. So this Supreme Court decision has nothing to do with the legitimacy of the lawsuit. It's only whether or not Remington can use this law to completely reject the suit altogether. That's all it is. People need to know that going into this today. Let me get to a couple of phone calls here. Fred, thanks for holding on. What's on your mind?
Well, you just had somebody on about using an AR-15 for protection in her home. That is the most ludicrous thing I ever heard in my life. Now, I am a gun toter, but if I'm using something for defense in my house, it's going to be a shotgun. Or you can have a pistol. It's called the Judge. It shoots 410 shotgun shells with some heavy load. If you shoot a pistol or a rifle in your house, it could miss somebody, go through them, go through a wall, maybe kill one of your loved ones, go through a wall and kill a neighbor. It's just silly to have that.
So now, specifically, he was referring to that case in Florida where the lady,
she was lucky.
Kicked in the door and came in and attacked him, and she grabbed the only firearm she had, which happened to be an AR-15.
Well, yeah.
I'm not saying it's the best
firearm
we
have, but
weapon.
That was stupid for that person to have that for self-defense.
Well, maybe
I mean, I'd rather have a shotgun.
Maybe it wasn't there for self-defense. Maybe they just happened to have it stored in their bedroom.
Well, it's, like I said, if you're going to live in a place or something like that happens. But, I'm just saying it's a dangerous thing to have. Something that shoots a center fire.
I don't disagree with you on that, Fred. I don't think firing an AR-15.
I have one other point. Now, the way people can control the stuff with guns and things like that is when I'm 69. When I first started hunting, I had to sign for any kind of center fire ammunition. And I always thought that was stupid because nobody could read everybody's writing and who's going to look at this sheet in Missouri to see who is on this a list or anything like that. So, but now with computers, if they put all the ammo behind counters where the guns are at, and in order to buy ammunition, the center fire ammunition, you have to go through, sign for it in a such a way where they goes in their computer base. If you're a felon or anything, it's going to come up. No, yeah. We can't sell you
all
anything.
Right. All right. I see your point, Fred. I see your point. I appreciate the call. I would completely disagree with that because then you've created a database for the left to use against Americans. We'll talk about it when we come back.